Zechariah 13, 1 through 9. This is talking about when Jesus returns, before his name was even known. The prophecies of his return are given in the Old Testament many times. In verse 1 of chapter 13, "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness." Now that's all about Jesus. Now look at verse 2. "And it shall come to pass in that day." You see a little pattern here? "Saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land." No more St. Christophers. No more false Marys. No more Vishnus or any of the other millions of Hindu gods. No more New Age gods. None of those. All of them cut off out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. "And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land." Why? Because behind those idols is a devil. Every one of them, every idol has a devil behind it. You worship that idol, you burn incense to that idol, you pray to that idol. Paul said you're offering sacrifice to devils. Look at verse 3. "And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, Thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesied." Imagine if they were doing that to the false prophets today. There'd be dead people all over the place. Turn on TBN, it wouldn't be anybody alive. Verse 4. "And it shall come to pass in that day," there it is again, "in that day, that the prophets shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive." No more fakes, no more false prophets. There's not even going to be a charismatic prophet or New Age prophet or anything. None of them in the millennial kingdom. And verse 5, "But he shall say, I am no prophet. I am an husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle for my youth." He's not even going to want to be called that anymore. No one's even going to want that label anymore, because they know that there's no such thing in the millennium. No need for it. Jesus is right there on earth with us. What do you need other prophets for when Jesus is going to be right there on earth with us? I can't wait. Read verse 6 with me. "And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." Hundreds of years before the Romans were crucifying people. And there you go. And Zechariah 12:10, "They'll look upon him whom they pierced." Isn't that amazing? The Bible's an amazing book. And then we pick up there verse 7. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones." Of course, this is all prophesied, and that's what happened. What happened when they took Jesus to crucify him, and he was abandoned by all of his followers and everything. And then in verse 8, "And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein." Now, again, you have to look at it from a Jewish perspective. When they talk about the first and second coming, it's like this. You and I know that there's this big gap in between. That's actually what, in one of our charts, I refer to it as the church gap. Not to be confused with the Genesis gap. But prophetically, in the Bible, what some prophecy teachers have shown is it's just as good as what I'm saying, but here's an alternative. They'll show the first coming and the second coming, and then they show them these mountains in between, but when you're looking from the first and the second coming, you don't see those mountains. But then the New Testament came and gave us all the information in between about the church and the church age. But that's why you see right here, he goes from being crucified, verse 6, and then his followers scattered in verse 7. And in verse 8, suddenly we're talking about what? The tribulation period, when two-thirds of the Jews are going to be killed.
Right.
And one-third will be left, according to verse 8. I hope you followed that. I tried to make it as clear as I could there. Now read verse 9 with me. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. So only Jesus, no other gods exist, even the false gods, during that time. And the one-third remnant of Jews then remaining at the end of the tribulation, and that's what we studied in Revelation 12, if you remember that study, that one-third remaining are then the final regathering. There's an end-time regathering taking place now. And that is necessary for then the stage to be set for Revelation 12. And then Revelation 12 also talks about two-thirds being cut off, and for 1,260 days they'll be in the wilderness. Then Jesus returns, and the one-third that remain are these that are finally regathered for the millennial kingdom. So let's look at verse 6, back in our text in Micah 4. In that day, there it is again. There's just certain phrases in the Bible that if you just pay attention to how repetitively they're used over and over, it gives you the key. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that is that I have afflicted. That's talking about the Jews that throughout the church age have been afflicted. They have halted, I mean, they've never been whole. Even though there's times where some Jews have prospered, what happens to them? They end up being killed and all their goods confiscated, whether it's the Roman Catholic Church doing it, or nations like they did in Germany during the Nazi Holocaust, or under Lenin and Stalin in Soviet Russia and elsewhere. There's times where the Jews would prosper, and then the next thing you know, someone's taking all their wealth and killing them off over and over. And then going through the tribulation period for 3.5 years, things are going to be looking up. But then halfway through, bam, here it comes again, another Holocaust. Worse than the Nazi Holocaust. Way worse. And that then leads into them being gathered for the millennial kingdom. So verse 6 is talking about this second regathering of Israel that will set the stage for the second coming. And that's what it's referred to. Look at Isaiah. Go back to Isaiah real quick. Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11, 10 through 12. And verse 10 is familiar to most of us. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek. I have you?
Yeah.
Amen. And his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again, what?
The second time.
To recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And I think that's a reference to the United States and all those outside of the Mediterranean and Middle East, what we call the Middle East today. And then verse 12, read that with me. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Matches what we just read in Micah 4, verse 6. And I just tell you, it's one of the most amazing things to me. Other professing Christians I know that just will not accept that what's happening before our eyes right now is end times prophecy. It's just an amazing thing. And people, you know, try to constantly send me stuff to convince me that, you know, I need to I need to open my eyes, you know, and see. And I think my eyes have been opened. And I'm not closing them again. And so it is what it is. Israel will eventually fully populate the promised land. And that's an Old Testament covenant promise that God's going to fulfill. And we've showed the map that the Bible says from the river of Egypt all the way to the Euphrates and down below the Negev, about midway through the Red Sea, all the way up to the above Lebanon, touching into the modern area of Turkey. All that is going to belong to Israel, and Jesus is going to rule and reign that nation as then king of all nations. So don't ever forget this as you study these things. We will be there too. Amen. In the eternal kingdom. It is 1,000 years, but it's 1,000 years. It's the first 1,000 years of eternity. Yeah. So the reason why we have the 1,000 years marker is because there will be that final rebellion after Satan's loosed for 1,000 or thrown in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. He's loosed and there's one last rebellion, but the kingdom doesn't end. There's a rebellion, but Jesus remains King of Kings throughout it all. And will continue throughout eternity. Amen, amen. So verse 7 starts and says, and I will make her that halted a remnant. Wait a minute, is that, I got that. Yeah. And I will make her that halted, okay, a remnant. and her that was cast far off, a strong nation. So this nation that, I mean, we're not going to be on the earth experiencing this. But and I don't know how much we're going to see from heaven. You know, I don't know when the tribulation is taking place and all that. I can't answer that. I've looked to see if there's some indication because we're going to be kind of busy up there. So maybe we'll get like, you know, how many of you are sick of seeing breaking news? And it's not breaking news, you know, but maybe in heaven we'll get real breaking news, you know. And would that be fun? I mean, we're up there doing our thing in the judgment seat. And then we go into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And there's like, breaking news. And the Antichrist is now attacking Israel. He's not going to win. Yeah! You know? I don't know. I don't know. I just can't believe we're not going to know what's going on earth at all. So to some level, I think we're going to have an understanding of what's going on earth. But Jesus will save, empower, and exalt the nation of Israel. That's what the Bible teaches. Look again back at Micah chapter 4, verse 2, where he said, and many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Israel will be exalted among nations. Their king, obviously, is King Jesus, King of Kings. But the nation itself, this is why Jew haters, anti-Semites, hate fundamentalist, Bible-believing Christians. Because we take the Bible literally, and they hate it when we say, yeah, one of these days the Jews are going to rule the world.
That's right.
Oh, man. You want to just get on Gab or talk to some of these, you know, far-right, as they like to call themselves, conservatives, and tell them, yep, I believe the Savior of the world is a Jew. Amen. And he will be King of Israel. He was crucified as King of the Jews. He will be King of Israel, and he's going to rule the world as King of the Jews, King of Israel, and Israel will be exalted above the nations. Amen. The King of Israel is going to rule the world. Take that! I get so sick of it. It's wickedness. And these people hate the Jews and the way they talk and everything. I just get tired of it when the Bible is so clear. I'm a Gentile. I got every reason to join that crowd. But I don't. Why? Because they're stupid.
Amen.
It's a big, fat, satanic lie.
Amen.
I know what the truth is. I got a book here. I read it. I know what the truth is. I'm going to side with God and the truth. And if that meant that, you know, as a Gentile, I had to walk around with a shirt on that says, you know, the Jews are a superior race, I'd do it. Why do I say that a lot, because people misunderstand what I mean. I don't mean that Jews are better, because God himself said, I didn't pick you because you're better. I didn't pick you because you're wonderful, but I picked you. So that means we need to get over it. The Jews are the chosen race, the chosen nation. We are chosen unto salvation. We shouldn't be complaining.
Amen.
We've been saved from hell, and we're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years and for eternity. It's not like we're getting gypped. So Israel will fully fulfill the Lord's promise. See, that's the point. It's not about the Jews. It's about God's word. God made a promise. He cannot break his promise. And of course, we should be thankful. He has said, you're saved by the blood. I'm saved by the blood. He can't break his promise. Thank God for that. Look at Deuteronomy 28. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy 28. Beginning, verses 12 and 13 we're going to look at. Now this is a promise from God. Keep that in mind. And it's never fully been implemented. And he can't break his promises, right? Nope. Look at verse 12. The Lord shall open unto thee. Of course, he's talking about them following him and keeping his word, keeping his covenant. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And then verse 13, read that. And the Lord shall make thee the head. Oh, wait a minute. What did that just say? He's talking about Israel. The Lord will make Israel the head of all nations. God's word. If you don't like it, you better get over it real fast. Read it again. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only. And thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them, and during the millennium, they will. I'm excited about it. So just remember this as we close up here. Israel has her promises. The church of Jesus Christ has her promises. Don't confuse them, and don't mix them up. Don't get angry at the Jews and the nation of Israel, because there are some promises to them that don't belong to you. But I should say also, don't forget the many promises that belong to us as the church that don't belong to Israel. And it's like, some people are just like spoiled little kids. You ever have a couple kids, you know, and you give one a lollipop and it's orange, and you give the other one a lollipop and it's red, and they're going to fight over it.
You get what you get.
And they both like it, red and orange. It's not really a big deal. But there's one of them that say, well, I wanted the orange one. That's what these Christians, I'll put it in quotes because I don't think all of them are, but some of them I believe probably are. They're just totally misguided and totally mistaught. Wanting to grab all of Israel's promises when we've got enough of our own. There's no reason for it. Again, verse 7, and it ends. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. Love that. The Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. See, that 1,000 years is just... It's not. I heard one guy say it's like the first quarter. It's like the first second, not even that. The first millisecond, and it's still too much compared to eternity that's ahead. We think 1,000 years. That's a long time compared to eternity. I mean, yeah, yeah, Johnny.
It's just the we have it in math. They'll use the eternity.
Infinity.
Yeah. Take any non-infinity number, and just divide it by infinity, and it's nothing.
Yeah.
That's about as close to nothing as you can get. And that's what the millennial reign is.
It never gets smaller.
We might not see each other in heaven for 1,000 years, but it'll seem like we just ran into each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What have you been doing for the last 1,000 years, Brian? Oh, let me tell you. Also, that phrase, the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. Does it kind of ring a bell? Remind you of what we read in Revelation? Look at Revelation. This is our close. We're going to look here. Revelation 11:15. Revelation 11:15. Just makes me want to go home. So ready for all this. I'll give you a second to get there. Revelation 11:15. And of course, this is the third woe. Verse 14 says, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the third woe comes with the seventh angel sounding the trumpet, so that's the seventh trumpet. Read 15 with me. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And some of you know the story, a fellow named Handel put this to music. And God just gave him such a tremendous gift. And when he played that the first time, King George at that time became just overwhelmed and just with tears just stood up. He recognized the scripture and everyone around just started standing up. From that time forward, when this is played, everyone stands up. And He shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I can't wait to hear the angels. Oh, boy.
Good times.
Good times. That's close. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time in Your Word. We thank You for just the promises that we know You've never, ever not kept a promise. And all these promises we read, we are not jealous. We are thankful and happy for Israel, for the promises that remain for them. We're only saddened by the fact that all but a remnant continues to reject the Messiah. And we are saddened to think about what's to come for them. The worst is yet to come for Israel before the best. The darkness before dawn. But we also look at the promises for the church, the bride, the one that You went to the cross and paid the full price for our sin. You purchased us by Your blood and promised all these things to us. We are so thankful. We love You so much, Lord. We love You so much. We're going to sing and praise only You forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All hail, King Jesus. All hail.
His praises and forever.
seen Jesus.